Hi everyone, my name is Craig Boerter and it's good to preach to you again on this Exodus series on this cold morning here in Pietermaritzburg. And just thank you for the way you've been following our messages and the YouTube videos as well. It's wonderful to be able to serve you in this way as well. And we pray God blesses you again this morning and speaks to you through His Word. And I want to talk to you this morning about faith. Through this passage, this next passage in Exodus chapter 15, where they came to the bitter pools of Marah and how God did a miracle there and made the water sweet that they could drink it. So let's pray together as we come to God's Word today. Lord Jesus, we ask You to speak to us through Your Word by the power of Your Spirit and for Your glory. Amen. And so we said last week, we were looking at the great escape and we saw how God delivered the Israelites from the land of Egypt. And He told them to take the blood of the lamb and to put it on the doorposts and to trust Him. And when the destroying angel comes over, it'll pass over the house. The judgment would be averted when God judged the land of Egypt. And so before then, for over 400 years, they couldn't get out of Egypt. They were slaves there, had a harsh life. But on the night of the Passover, they left immediately. After the Passover, they couldn't stay in. They left, and God led them out of the land of Egypt and onto the journey to the promised land that He had promised them. And so I want you to see a few things just in this introduction to this message, that the Exodus story is really like a giant visual aid to us. Explaining the gospel story. But let's read the passage. I actually forgot to do that. Let's read the passage before we continue. And here in Exodus chapter 15, it says in verse 22, then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea. They just crossed the Red Sea and they went into the wilderness of Shur. And they went for 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they couldn't drink the water because it was bitter. Therefore, it was called Marah, which means bitter. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a log, which he threw into the water, this wooden log. He threw into the water, and the water became sweet. And the Lord made for them a statute and a rule, and he tested them there, saying, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His eyes and give ear to His commands and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. And then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water. And so these Exodus stories, as I was saying, they serve like a visual aid to remind us of the gospel as they delivered from Egypt and crossed the Red Sea and onto the promised land, and they get out of slavery. And you'll find that this idea of crossing over from death to life is and moving on to our inheritance is really all over the Bible. It's all over the scriptures. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he says these things have taken place as examples for us to learn from. And so we need to learn from them, and I'm hoping we can learn some lessons of faith this morning. God Himself was looking for a people that He could call His very own, a special possession of His. He didn't just want to get us out of slavery, but He wants a people that He can dwell amongst. And we see that He did that in the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And He's with His people, and they've been delivered. They crossed the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army is wiped out. And some people call it the 11th plague. And they rejoice on the other side, and they take out their tambourines, and they sing to the Lord. They have a great worship service for the first time in years, because there was nothing much to sing about in Egypt. And it says that they sang, and they said, I will sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider He has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. This is my Lord, and I will praise Him, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. And so they celebrate and they worship together. and as they prepare to move on to the promised land. And I want you to see this connection between what's happening to the Israelites and really what happens to the Christian. If you were to have stopped one of those Israelites and said to them, "Who are you? What's happening?" They would have said to you, Alex Motyer brings this out in his commentary wonderfully. He says they would have said to you, "Well, I was in the land of bondage. I was in slavery, but I was saved by the blood of the Lamb. And God rescued me and he got me out by grace. And I've crossed over from death to life. And God's given us his word to keep us and his commands to keep us as a community. And now we're on our way. We're journeying to the promised land. And God himself dwells in our midst." That's the Exodus story. And that's really our story. Really, the Christian can say exactly the same thing. And so we need to see the unity of the gospel and the unity of the scriptures and the great plan of God's grace rescuing us from slavery that's really right through the scriptures. He's a God of grace who's delivered us. But then we come here, friends, to Exodus chapter 15 and the bitter waters of Marah. What a challenge. They'd been walking for 3 days in the desert, in the wilderness, and nothing to drink. And then they hit this pool and they think, water at last. But they can't drink the water because the minerals in the sand in the desert had made the water bitter. And the Bible tells us that God was testing them at Marah. These were tests of faith. God never tempts us, but he does put us through tests. He tests our faith that we can learn how to trust him. And that's really the big idea here in this message today. God is looking for a people that will trust him as their God. And he really does that for all of us, where we learn to trust him. And I've been saying that right through lockdown, that even through this viral situation we're living through, God is using it to strengthen our faith as we trust him, as we look to him every day. And God loves it when we trust him. He's chosen faith as the way that we need to walk before him. And faith really is trust in his character, that he is the God who always rescues us. It's just wonderful. And that's what the Israelites are learning as well. And sometimes it takes an extreme crisis, I know in my own life, extreme crisis to make you abandon self-trust. And I'm still learning that as you abandon self-trust and you look to God. And we find at the Red Sea, the Israelites were struggling with fear. They were afraid the armies were approaching, the Egyptian armies, and now they're struggling with provision. And so these two things, safety and finances, the two biggest things that are challenges in South Africa today. And so God is wanting to teach us faith and for us to mix in faith in our lives as well. You'll find that if you read through to Exodus 20, when they came to Mount Sinai, you'll find that God actually initially takes them in the opposite direction to the promised land. And he takes them through the desert. And he takes them through these bitter pools as well, so that we can learn to trust him. And you'll find in the Christian life, it's the same thing. He saves you gloriously, he blesses you, but there are also challenges along the way as he wants us to learn to trust him. Resurrection comes through the cross. And God wants us to learn these things as well, because we need to go through them sometimes to learn the lessons from them. And that's exactly what's happening in here. And we need to mix it with faith. We need to mix in faith, as I think the old King James says as well. We need to trust God and mix in faith. We've been baking quite a lot of bread during this lockdown, so we don't have to go to the shops. And I'm doing the baking, believe it or not. And you have to make sure you put yeast in and mix it in so that the dough rises well. And I think there was a stage where there was a bit of a yeast shortage, because with the alcohol restrictions, people were buying yeast and they were brewing beer. But we, fortunately, my wife bought a big bag and we carried on baking. So we need to mix in faith with our Christian lives. And so I want to ask this morning, how do we do that? Practically, how do we mix in faith? And I want to just suggest three things this morning as well. Firstly, I want to suggest we need to wait on God. We need to wait on God. Secondly, we need to pray. And thirdly, there are things God wants us to learn through these things as well. So firstly, waiting on the Lord. It's good for us to wait. When you face a Mara, when you face a difficult situation, don't just make a plan. Don't just rush off and do something. Wait on the Lord. Trust His heart, even when you can't see His hand. Be still and wait on the Lord. And that's really what Moses learned when he came to the Red Sea. You'll see in chapter 14, God says to him, just be still and wait and see the salvation of the Lord. And it doesn't really matter whether you have great faith or small faith. It's not the quality of our faith that's important at times like this, but it's the object of our faith. As we look to Him, as we wait on Him, it says in Isaiah, those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. But sometimes it's the hardest thing to do, isn't it? Just to wait and just to be still and just to give God time to break in and to strengthen our hearts. So my first point is we need to learn to wait. And we need to wait and not allow the situation to define us. He's wanting to teach us that although the water's bitter, we mustn't become bitter. And although things get tough, He's not tough. He's wanting to lead us by grace at this time. And He's wanting us to know His grace as His favor, but also as His power. He wants to do miracles amongst us. And sometimes we need to wait on God for that to happen. You'll find in the book of Ruth, when Naomi also went through a time of great bitterness. Their husbands had died, Ruth and Naomi. There was a famine in the land. And when she got back to Bethlehem, they said, "Hi, Naomi." And she said, "Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara," same word, "because the Lord has dealt bitterly with me." And she identified so with her struggles. She wanted a name change. But if you follow the rest of the story of Ruth, you'll find at the end of the story, she becomes a grandmother and she's nursing. She's sitting with Ruth's baby on her lap. She's a grandmother now. And that little baby was David's grandfather, King David, his grandfather. And God takes bitterness and He turns it into blessing in our lives. So wait. Don't allow the situation to define you. And don't, they wanted to go back to Egypt. They said, we're out of here. We're going back to Egypt. And I want to encourage you not to think like that. Remember that you are free. God has got you out of slavery. But sometimes He's also got to get, He's got us out of Egypt, but sometimes He's got to get some of Egypt out of us. Because the old masters and our old habits and idols, they beckon to us. And sometimes a test can become a temptation. And we must be careful that we don't fantasize about Egypt. And you'll find that they did that in the next chapter, in chapter 16. The pressure's on again and they're grumbling. And they said to Moses, "We're going back to Egypt. We used to sit around pots full of meat and bread. We could eat to the full." You know, they were thinking about poikikos and freshly baked bread. And they were deluded because idols deceive you. So don't look back. Don't fantasize about Egypt. Keep trusting the Lord that He has freed you and He's continually freeing us from things that hold us captive in our lives. Don't let your thirst drive you back into enslavement. Obey God. Look to Him. I've had to learn that as well in my own life because it's a challenge. You see, there's water in Egypt. The Nile River's there. I've visited the Nile River. I've seen it's a mighty river. There's water there. And sometimes we go back to things that are familiar to us. But that water can never fully quench our thirst. That's what Jesus said to the Samaritan woman. "I will give you water. And when you drink this water, you'll never thirst again." Only God can give us living water. So I would encourage you, if you see patterns of captivity in your life, patterns of idolatry, even during this lockdown, just stop. And turn to God and trust Him for your healing and for your deliverance at a time like this. You'll see that God's actually looking for He's looking for a covenant relationship with us, where our relationship with Him is more important than our needs. When that starts happening in your life, you really are starting to mature as a believer. He says to the Israelites in verse 26, he says, if you do what is right in my eyes, and if you keep my commands, and if you obey my word, then I will heal you. And friends, that's a covenant relationship based on promises, based on putting God first. But the Israelites really wanted a consumer relationship. It really was, they were after a prosperity gospel, if you like. They said, no, we'll keep following you based on what we can get out of it. And if you stop blessing and delivering us, we're out of here. But God's looking for a covenant with us, a relationship that brings true freedom based on his promises. Will you take the Lord Yahweh as your Lord, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, until death unites you with him completely? Will you do that? That's what he's after. That's what he's looking for. And so we need to stop and not allow the situation to define us, not fantasize about what could be, but look to God and obey him and put him first. And secondly, we also need to pray. Not look inward. We're about the first generation in the history of the world that looks inward for answers. We look inside for answers. Well, good luck with that. But we need to pray, the Bible says, rather, and look to God and let him speak to you. Don't turn inward as you face problems of life. Look upward to the Lord. And Moses does that. He cries out to the Lord. And while he's praying, he gets revelation and God recalibrates his heart and he sees there's a log over there, something that was always there, but he never saw it before. God will, when you pray, God will give you new perspectives on your situation. Prayer brings revelation. Prayer connects you to God. And he picks up this log and he throws it into the bitter pool and it becomes sweet again. And it's really like a picture of the cross, where the cross brings great sweetness out of bitterness. And I would encourage you to as it were, and say that with respect to keep throwing Jesus into your situation. Keep trusting him with what you're going through. Lay hold of God and pray through situations. Don't just say your prayers, but connect to God and he'll bless you and he'll show you fresh things. And then lastly, he's got things for us to learn. So wait, pray and learn and see. See what God is doing. God's teaching them something profound. He's teaching them that if you obey, healing will come. And we might find that order strange. Surely God should heal us so we can obey. No, he says, I want you to obey me. I've redeemed you. Now obey me and healing will come. Obedience really is the way out of slavery and obedience really is the way onto blessing. We need to see that. Alex Motyer says, as I draw to a close, he says, if you want to preach the gospel from the Old Testament and the New Testament, you must see that God delivered them by grace, the blood of the Lamb. He gave them his law, his instruction to keep them, and so that they could obey him, and so that he could continue to bless them. And so the order is, grace leads to obedience, which leads to more blessing. That's really the gospel. It's just wonderful. Grace, obedience, and blessing. And so in chapter 12, they learn that God delivers. Delivered them from Egypt. In chapter 15, they learn that God provides. Obedience brings healing, and it brings provision, and it brings blessing. And I would encourage you, and I'm preaching this to myself, to obey the Lord, put him first. And as you do that, you'll know healing in your life. You'll know restoration. You'll know answers to prayer. And sometimes the answers to prayer, he can say, well, you need to do something. You need to pick up that log and throw it in. You need to apply your faith into the situation. And you'll find that you will learn more from your bitter experiences from Marah's, from the Elims. That's the next place they went to. They went to Elim, and at Elim there was 12 springs of water, 70 palm trees, and lots of water. It was wonderful. It was like a paradise in the desert. It was a great place, but there were no miracles there. There was no promise there. There was no revelation there, and no new names of God there. And God often does his greatest work and teaches us the deepest lessons that come out of bitter experiences. And I believe he's doing that even now during this horrible virus. He's teaching and strengthening us in all sorts of areas. He's strengthening our faith. He's revealing himself in new ways, even as we go through some bitter pools. And so I would encourage you, let's keep looking to him. Let's keep obeying him, to trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. It's something I'm learning. It's something I'm trusting that you're learning as well. As we learn these lessons, as we go through the book of Exodus, God is looking for faith. He loves faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And sometimes we have to exercise faith in the midst of a real challenge. And I know some of you are going through those challenges at work, to generate finances, to hold your family together, to homeschool, to be safe when you go out shopping. You're worried about the future. Let's trust the Lord together. Let's look to him. Let's not be afraid. Let's not give way to fear. God provides and God protects and God leads. We just need to trust him. It's not the quality of your faith. You can have little faith or you can have big faith. It's really the object of our faith that's important. It's who we're looking to. And we're looking to the Lord, the Almighty, the one who parts the sea, the one who delivers us from Egypt, the one who leads us by the Spirit to the promised land. I really trust this word has encouraged you and strengthened you today as you believe God and follow him. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you again for your word, and we thank you that there's a shaking going on, Lord, but you're strengthening us at the same time, that we may receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Lord, we pray you would make us men and women of faith and know what it is to obey you, Lord, and to reap blessing, even in the midst of deserts and viruses and pandemics and droughts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.